The Boston Celtics pay Keith Bogans $5 million to stay home. It's typical of this 13-14 season, and we're talking about that and more on this Friday, Locked On Celtics. Move. Let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat writer, along with Tom Westerholm, who has a competing podcast that shall not be named here, but he does a good job. So go follow all of our Celtics coverage at masslive.com/Celtics. I want to thank everybody who's given a five-star rating, a good written review, and it's kept this podcast at the top of the rankings, the number one Boston Celtics podcast, and somewhere in the top 30 of overall basketball podcasts. So all because of you, all because of the ratings and the good reviews and your sharing. So I really do appreciate that. Thank you, everybody. Today, Friday, the Boston Celtics get back to the practice floor and they start actual basketball, 5-on-5, like full-on practices. Up until now, it's been workouts, individual workouts at the facilities. They couldn't do really much other than run and get their individual work in. But now on Friday, the Celtics are scheduled, assuming that all of their COVID-19 tests come back negative, they are scheduled to hit the practice floor Friday afternoon. After that, there will be media availability. I'm assuming that we're going to hear from Brad Stevens. We'll hear from him after every practice like we normally do. And then a couple of players. It's going to be weird. It's going to be all over Zoom, but you're going to hear and see, if you're on Twitter, the flurry of tweets from all of us. So just prepare yourselves Friday afternoon, somewhere around 5 o'clock or so Eastern time, that you're going to see a ton of quotes and everything from the Celtics, the players, and Brad Stevens. Full coverage again, masslive.com/Celtics. Bookmark that on your browser, on your phone, because anything Celtics that's happening, Tom and I are going to have you covered. I know that in the midst of all of this, it might be a little bit crazy to think like you're going to start immersing yourself in Celtics coverage again, but it's here and that's our job. So we're going to do our jobs and hopefully you enjoy our Celtics coverage. Until then, hope you enjoy this podcast. We're getting into the end of the 2013-14 season. We're going to talk a little bit about Keith Bogans and how the weird salary cap rule that got him $5 million, the most that he's ever been paid for a season of basketball, and how he still didn't like it and ended up getting sent home by the Boston Celtics. So that is a part of the end of Brad Stevens' first year, a couple of assessments for me and Mike Dinan on our just how Brad Stevens did in his first year and the overall kind of tone that was set for the Celtics in the Brad Stevens era. So we'll do that when we come back after the break. Before we do that, I want to please implore you to go to rockauto.com if you need anything at all for your car. Instead of driving over to one of those chain stores that's in some strip mall somewhere, you know, you've seen them, go to rockauto.com. First of all, it's safer. You don't have to leave the house. You don't have to go into one of these places at this time of year with all of this stuff that's going on. Secondly, unlike one of those places, how many parts can you have in a strip mall? How many options can you have in one of those whatever stores that they have? Not many. And you probably need a lot of different things. Cars have a lot of different parts. So go to rockauto.com for a full just array of everything that you would need. Why would you choose to spend 30 to 50 to even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store? For example, a fuel pump assembly for a Honda Odyssey at Advance, $354. At Rock Auto, it's $217. You're going to get those kind of prices no matter what. professional mechanic, do-it-yourselfer. The prices are the same for everybody. They're reliably low. They don't change based on what the market will bear. So go to rockauto.com. It's a family business that's been serving auto parts customers for 20 years. Go there and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. There is an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, it was a lost season for him, just like it was for the organization. Very little went right that year, and definitely Rondo had his issues and his struggles, and it was just a year that you'd like to write off. You can tell that not much good happened because we're talking about all these things that are not about what's on the court.
No.
You know, we're not talking about results or great moments in any games or anything like that. Those two examples you gave, I remember those plays myself, but those weren't this season.
So,
you know, it was just very little good going on at this point. The only thing that, in hindsight, that you could say good was happening is Brad was getting his feet wet and establishing himself. And then at the end, they drafted Marcus Smart.
That's really the best part of this whole season. When you look at 2013-14, you can run down the list of players. I do think the Avery Bradley emergence was the most positive on the court development of this season. That Bradley came out and, you know, his shoulder injuries had healed and the Celtics were able to get a lot out of him. Now, again, I put out some of the numbers before. This is the season he averaged about 15 points a game. Did he make an all-defensive team this year? Let me see. Nope. He was all-defense the year before and then 15-16. So, but still a top-notch defender. Like his defense was not a problem this year. He just didn't make one of those teams. But Avery Bradley was, I think, coming along and showing that he could be an effective member of this team. And eventually this is part of the value that he is building before Danny Ainge decides to move him to Detroit later on in 2017 in order to sign Gordon Hayward. But he's building the value to become somebody that's desired around the league. So I'd say the most positive thing is Avery Bradley's development.
I would agree with that. I remember Bradley in his first year or two couldn't make a jump shot. It seemed like he just wouldn't make a shot. And he improved dramatically over the years in that. And this, as you say, was probably the first year that he really showed what the promise was. Now, I think, you know, I would go personally for a highlight with Keith Bogans and his six games played.
Oh,
you know,
yes. Thank you.
Keith Bogans, the man who got paid to stay home.
So the trade for Keith Bogans, he got a big contract, because the Celtics and the Nets, they needed one more contract to make this thing work. So Keith Bogans went from making $1 million the year before in Brooklyn to making $5 million in Boston.
And what a great country, huh?
I mean, but that changed a rule. Like that contract, I think, changed a rule that I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I think the Keith Bogans contract changed a rule about how much you could pay a guy signing and trading him and what it meant for the other team. I got to look that up. But yes, you're right. Keith Bogans came to Boston and didn't play well. He played six games.
Six.
And then was sent home. He was unhappy. He did not play for most of the season. And then all of a sudden in January, after playing a couple of games, he's just gone. He's inactive. They sent him home. They pay him to stay home. And that's the end of Keith Bogans. But yeah, I remember that was, geez, what a mess.
That was the end of his career.
I was going to say
that.
He
didn't play anywhere else. Yeah. He played 11 years in the league and really was just a fringe player. You know, he averaged, let's see, 21 minutes a game. All right. Maybe he was like a seventh man, right? So never averaged double figures. And he was just a complimentary kind of a player. And I don't know why he got upset by not playing in Boston. Maybe he figured he deserved playing time because the team wasn't good. And he might have thought, why are these guys playing in front of me? And maybe he had a case. Who knows? But you don't normally go off the rails six games into the season. It was weird.
I figured out the rule. It wasn't that he changed the rule. It was a base year compensation thing, which is so complicated. But basically, the Celtics and Nets were $2.5 million away from matching the salary. But because of base year compensation rules, because he was getting a raise that was so big that the Celtics could only count his contract for half of what it was worth. So they had to give him $5 million because the salary cap machinations would only make it count towards $2.5 million. So he got $5 million because of the rule. He didn't change a rule. He got $5 million because the Celtics needed to pay him that much because the league was only going to count half of his contract towards salary matching purposes. So
I'm glad you understand all that because my eyes glaze over. I can't grasp that stuff at all.
Let me tell you something. Base year compensation is, and this is something that came into play with Terry Rozier. It's the salary cap is so crazy. And having been away from it, like it's one of those things. My brother's an accountant and he's like, if you don't keep up with all of these rules all the time, you forget and you lose it and it's gone. Like I saw base year compensation. I'm like, oh, that's right. And I haven't talked about base year compensation in so long that it's been a year. And I'm like, oh, this is how it works. Yeah. So it's all over the place. But basically that's what it was. He got lucky two ways that the Celtics, they needed to pay him more than he was making because they needed to match salaries, and then they need to pay him double that because of the salary cap, basically. So Keith Bogans got $5 million to stay home.
And yeah, he didn't even have to sit and watch the terrible play.
No, right. Just go home. Now, I understand you're a competitor, but at the same time, you have to understand, at this point, Keith Bogans was ineffective. It's not like he was a great player. He played 19 minutes a game for a bad Nets team that year before. He never really was very good, but I'm sure at 33, he was like, come on, I want to get one more contract. But I mean, that $5 million was basically worth two or three contracts to him. There was no way he was going to get anywhere close to that the rest of the way.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
There were a lot of players that year that were passing through I'm looking at the list of names. Jared Bayless, who always played well against the Celtics, and I always wished that they would get him just so he wouldn't hurt us. And they got him that year, and he was not bad. Not bad.
It was all right.
Good outside shooter. A couple other names, Phil Pressey.
Now, Phil Pressey I liked. He was like Tremont Waters. He was this short guy that was pretty good point guard.
Yeah. But he didn't have a shot. Tremont Waters is Phil Pressey with a jump shot.
Yeah, basically.
Phil had one good game, I remember, in Washington. He had 20 or 21 points, something like that. All I remember is he was making his jumper, and I think the Celtics won in overtime, so that was like a unicorn game. Let's see, they had Vander Blue for three games. That's got to be first team all-league for the all-name team. I don't know what a Vander is, but Vander Blue.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
This is how the season was.
Chris Babb. So Phil Pressey, by the way, is still playing basketball, which shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, 2013-14 was not that long ago. But so he had a couple of seasons here with the Celtics, went to Philly, played, went to Phoenix, bounced around the G League. Then he went overseas to FC Barcelona, Beşiktaş in Turkey, and Estudiantes, which is in Madrid, Spain. So he's playing in Spain right now, still playing professionally.
It's a good life.
Not bad. Hey, man, yeah. Let me tell you something. You play professional basketball in Spain, you're living the life. And I'm sure that he might not be, I don't know what he's feeling, but I tell you right now, as someone who was young and played overseas and didn't quite appreciate it as much as I should have, now I look back on it and it was like, man, I should have done everything that I could to hang on there. Doesn't matter what I was getting paid. Just hang out there. Just feed me, put me up, give me a little spending money. I'm good. Playing for these high end professional leagues, and you're chilling in Madrid. Come on. That's a good life. That's a good life. So that's the season. That's the season. I think in the end, you have a couple of decent things to look forward to. At this point, you're hoping that Kelly Olynyk figures it out. You're seeing Avery Bradley turn a corner. You understand that the Celtics are still going to be making trades. Rondo comes out of this season clearly as the most divisive point of his life and is we don't know it yet, but on the verge of being moved. And Danny Ainge has a lot of work to do. But I think overall, for Brad Stevens to come out of this season, 25 wins, you look at it on a positive note. I thought that the fact that they were still middle of the pack defensively and they managed a couple of runs, and you could see some of the promise. And for a first year coach, I thought he did a pretty good job and handled himself well with the media, was pretty good, never really looked overwhelmed, even though he has since said that he probably was a little overwhelmed. He never really let on that things were moving as fast as they were. And most importantly, as we move forward, the lessons that were there, he took them to heart and he really applied them moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with that if nothing else, just getting Brad the first season under his belt was the important part. The most important part. He saw what it was like to not be good, and he dealt with that pretty well. And then you could see there was some reason for optimism. You could see that he handled players well, the after timeout business, and you got a feeling that, yeah, they did get a good coach there, and now they just need some players.
And those players start to come. And what we're going to do is we'll stop now, but 2014, when we pick it up, the 2014 offseason, you start to say, okay, look, Marcus Smart. Now, at the time, didn't know what he was going to be, didn't know that he was going to become Smarf, didn't know that he was going to become, like, the most beloved player in Boston. But Marcus Smart selected that June. They also make some trades that are key to future signings. They keep Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley signs a contract. And then a few other things happen in 2014 that are pretty crucial to the Celtics' future success. This was really when Danny Ainge went nuts with the trades. I mean, he made what? I'm just looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No. Yes. 7 trades prior to that trade deadline. Whew. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about all in the next podcast. There is a flurry of action coming in this next season, in this offseason. We already touched on the drafting of Marcus Smart. We'll get a little more into that. But the offseason going into 14-15, Brad Stevens' second season, and the retooling of the Boston Celtics brings a lot of change. A lot of change. I mean, Danny Ainge was active, and he definitely earned that Trader Danny nickname. So we'll talk about that beginning next week. We might have some other types of shows sprinkled in, but as we wait for basketball to fully restart, we're going to continue. And we're going to wrap up our historical deep dive. If you haven't been here for the whole ride, we started at the very beginning. We're talking about every single season in Celtics history. We're going through the entirety of this organization's existence. So if you haven't listened to that, you can go back and start at the beginning, or you can just subscribe and get what's next. You can also follow on Spotify if you haven't done that. Again, thank you all for those of you who have subscribed already, who have given a 5-star rating, who have given a good written review. It's always very, very helpful and very much appreciated. So thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.